Hello, America. Dave Hodges here in the guest segment. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have one of those people who's helping to free America, or to keep America as free as possible. Although I can't say we're winning that battle right now, but hopefully in time we will. We have, as you can see, Sheriff Richard Mack with us. And Richard, I go way, way back, and he doesn't surprise me real often because there's this thing called the Constitution, and he educates sheriffs on how to follow the Constitution and serve the people that duly elected that sheriff. And I've asked Richard today to come up with some things that he's concerned about in society, like there's any shortage, right? And then we want to link it back to the power of the sheriff. And I'll tell you a quick story, what I just told Richard before we came on. I interviewed Jonathan Hollerman, deputy director reporting to Congress, Homeland Security, Grid Down. He is the guy. He's the expert. And that was a tremendous interview. And Jonathan said eventually we could degrade into warlords. And I told Sheriff Mack, I said, the warlord I want to get in with is the sheriff. And I think things could get real dire. So I make light of it. But it's very serious, the threats we're facing now. So, Richard, I know you were on a 10-day tour, and you probably talked about some things that really concerned you. So I'll just kind of leave it to you and your discretion to choose some of these things. And let's talk about how this relates back to the power of the sheriff.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave. It's always good to be with you. And I don't think the people in the freedom movement know how good of friends that you and I are. So that cannot be understated, folks. Dave Hodges and I are very good friends.
No, I agree.
We've both been basketball coaches.
Yeah, we are.
So we love basketball, but all of this now is about God's family and country.
Issue. All right. No, we do love basketball, and yeah, I got about another year left in me, but we'll leave that for an off-air discussion. But things are going really well in that domain, so really well. So anyway, we do share a lot in common, and I should do this. I mean, we have so many new people in our audience. We've had a million new people come to our YouTube site in the last 45 days, according to our data. So I probably should say this. If you're not familiar with Richard, and it's kind of hard not to be, but if you're not, and that's okay. That's why we have him on the show. But he took on the Clintons and defeated them in the Supreme Court, and he lived to tell about it. I love that line you used when we were speaking together up in Kingman. That was an awesome line.
That's one of my favorite lines. But yeah, and that's the thing. I've been to every major court in this country. I've been in every major battle in this country, trying to save our families and our country, and do the bidding of Almighty God to preserve the precious liberties that he blessed us with. So first, I'd like to say, though, that you actually coached basketball in the same league that I used to play for. Now, I was obviously before your time. Yeah, because I played for Eastern Arizona College. And I think Scottsdale, weren't they the Artichokes?
The Artichokes, yeah.
Artichokes, yeah.
Yeah, and then Glendale, where you coached, what were they, the Gauchos?
The Gauchos, right. The Argentinian Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, there's two teams in America that have very unique mascots, and that's Eastern Arizona College, because we were the Gila Monsters.
That's right.
And there's nobody else that has Gila Monsters. And Scottsdale, there's nobody else that wants to be called an artichoke. How about, calling somebody a kumquat, or a carrot or lettuce or cabbage or something, what's the one? Oh, eggplant. Yeah. The Scottsdale eggplants, artichoke. Anyway, they're going to have to explain that later. But at the same time.
Well, I actually know the story about Scottsdale, because Art Becker. And I used to follow Art Becker when he played in the old ABA, and I was a little kid and went to the Denver Nuggets games, and he played for the Indiana Pacers. And then he became our league director, and he was the athletic director at Scottsdale. So the year, you know, we were going to nationals, he's at our place, he's doing all the travel arrangements and stuff. And I said, Art, how the heck did you guys get this crazy name? And he said, it was a joke. It was a compromise from a joke. That's a true story.
I believe it. That's cool. Well, he actually put on a basketball clinic at Phoenix College. He didn't put it on, but he was invited, and he came in to teach us how to shoot a free throw. And I've never forgot it. And I always taught my boys to do their free throws exactly like Art said.
He was a good shooter too. I remember when he played for the Indiana Pacers, he was a really good shooter and a really good guy. I mean, really good guy. Yeah.
But I always told my team, my players, who taught me how to do a free throw. And so I passed it on to them. But anyway, I have another story for you real quick. I was in Minnesota the last 10 days, as you know, and actually the last 12 days, because I went to Minnesota for 10 days. And then I flew over to Aberdeen from Minneapolis to Aberdeen, South Dakota. And I did three meetings there in one day, in 24 hours. So Saturday night, I had a meeting with the public about this man that is having his land rights destroyed by a company called Summit Carbon Solutions.
Oh, I know about this. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're trying to commandeer land from farmers. And this one farmer, his name's Jared Bosley, he doesn't want anything to do with them. He wants to be left alone. And a judge mistakenly, very mistakenly, made a court order where he had to submit to them and allow them to do a survey on his land.
Carbon capture, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So so they did that, and now he is saying that he will not allow anything else. And guess what? The good sheriff has said he won't either. And he's standing for the Constitution, and he's standing for this man's rights. And I had a long conversation with him. He's a good man, and he just doesn't see why anyone in government would try to force this man to submit to a private company as if they can use eminent domain against this man when they can't. Eminent domain has to be for a government purpose, not government doing business or underhandedly with another private business.
Unfortunately, so, that practice is going on in 8 states in the breadbasket.
And they're trying to do a huge pipeline. Is what they're trying to do. So, and I have a copy of this in my briefcase that I got yesterday, where this company offered the county commissioners $50,000 if they would just make this all happen. And it's in writing, and I told the sheriff, this is a bribe, and you have the evidence right in front of you. He says, we're still looking at it. So, I mean, it's just insane what's going on. But these people think because they have money, they can get away with all these antics and business deals, you know?
Yeah.
So, but something else happened to me in St. Cloud, Minnesota. There's a big fan of yours there that has runs a health food store. And I was going over to the post office to mail something out to my wife, and I saw this little strip mall there, and I saw this Mexican food place that I wanted to go try to get a burrito, but they weren't open yet. So right next door is this health food store. So I went in there and I said, hey, I'm looking for some nitric oxide. She goes, well, we have that beet powder back here. And I said, yeah, that sounds perfect. And so we got to talking. I said, I came all the way from Arizona to get this beet powder here from you. And she says, from Arizona? She goes, wow. You know, she says, I'm very involved in the freedom movement here and nationwide. And I always listen to Dave Hodges. And she said this, and he always talks about Sheriff Mack.
Sometimes we do, yeah.
And well, so I said, well, guess what? I'm Sheriff Mack, and I'm good friends with Dave Hodges. She goes, you're not really Sheriff Mack. And I said, Dave Hodges talks about me all the time on his show, doesn't he? She goes, yeah, but I just said that. I said, okay, here's my driver's license. I gave her my driver's license. She goes, you are Sheriff Mack. So
that's funny.
She very fond of you, and I guess you've helped her become fond of me. So keep up the good work, Dave.
That's good. Well, listen, the work you're doing is so important because I really do believe the last line of defense is our constitutional sheriff. And if Lahaina had a constitutional sheriff, those people would be getting money to rebuild right now, and that development crap would stop and all that government intimidation. So the sheriff is huge. But anyway, let's pick a topic here that's near and dear that the people are concerned about, and then let's bring it back to the level of the sheriff. What can a sheriff do?
Okay. Let's see, what topic?
Okay, there's such a shortage of things right now. I'll give you one right now and you spoke of farming and the carbon capture. That was really good. I'm really glad, because by the way, they're putting those pipelines right next to homes, next to their sewer systems. You know, I talked to an editor from JBS, and she had me talk to one of the lawyers involved, but he won't come on the show because he doesn't want to compromise his case, and I get that. But yeah, I know a lot about that. But the other thing I with farmers is the 30-30 plan. And here's what I mean by that. Can a sheriff do anything about this? If you have a farm adjacent to federal land, they used to backburn and do all those things and make it safer. But now they say it's part of nature and that it's okay if the fire starts, and they won't even fight the fire. And so here comes the fire now encroaching on nearby farmers that have no control over this. Is there anything a sheriff can do about that?
Yeah, he can make sure that the local fire department, and most of them in the smaller communities, most of them are volunteers. Mm-hmm. And if the sheriff orders them to go, they'll go. And that's what needs to happen. I've been at fires right here in Arizona where the federal government said they kept local fire departments out. And they said, we can go and put this out. And the federal government would not allow it. If I were sheriff of that one, I would remove the federal government, the federal officers. And if they tried to get in the way again, I would arrest them for trespassing. And I'm not kidding. I got rid of some EPA and EPA agents and some of those from the Army Corps of Engineers when I was sheriff. And I ran them out of town. And we took care of a bridge being reconstructed and fixed so that the people of our community and our county, farmers and ranchers mostly, could transport their children to school. And we had to make sure that this was happening, but we had to get the federal government out of the way. And this is the same here. The federal government does not have any jurisdictional authority over your county or your land. They have none. None. And so this is what happens. The federal government has come into our county, and they came into Navajo and Apache County while I was sheriff, and they did control burns.
Yes.
And on our mountain of Mount Graham is the key component of our entire county and Southeast Arizona. This mountain is the only real landmark we have in that area. And they were doing a control burn. Here came an unexpected wind, and it burned up about 25% of the north side of Mount Graham. And they go, oh, sorry, we made a mistake, sorry. But there's nothing they can do about it. And then if a farmer or rancher does the same thing, and some of that goes on to Bureau of Land Management supposed property or any other supposed federal property, then those people will go to jail just like the Hammonds did in Oregon. And the crazy thing about the Hammonds is they served their time what the judge gave them. And then the federal government, being the evil people that they are, contested it and said, the minimum sentence, Your Honor, is 5 years, and you didn't give them that. And so the judge, instead of saying, I don't care, I'm not going to give these people 5 years, this is absurd, they hardly even committed a crime. And they, in fact, they didn't commit a crime, and I'm not going to send them back to prison because that'll violate their rights to double jeopardy. In fact, that turns double jeopardy on its head. And so they had to go back. A bunch of us, about 600 people, went out to protest that in a peaceful rally. We sang at the Hammonds' home, Amazing Grace. And it was because these two people, Mr. and Mrs. Hammond, were so humble. And they were willing to go back, and they told all of us that they didn't want any violence. They didn't, and we weren't planning on any, but they wanted it. They wanted it to remain peaceful, and we respected that, and we were going to, and we did. That was our intent from the get-go. It was our intent to go there and sing Amazing Grace, and there was a 600 people doing that. Later on, some of these leftists, Southern Poverty Law Center and others, said that we were violent. And just absurd after absurd after absurd.
Of course.
And
of
so
course they'd say that.
This is the same thing we're dealing with now. And the federal government will always interfere, always get in the way, unless we have local officials, especially your sheriff, that will do something about it. And I'm telling you unequivocally, Dave, that yes, the sheriff can do something about that, and they should. And Dick Carver, the county commissioner from Nye County, did the same thing in his county. He was a county commissioner, and he got up on a bulldozer and he reopened a road after a flood. And two agents of the Forest Service warned him not to do it. And they got in his way, and he told the deputies, if they get in my way again, you better arrest them or remove them, because I'm going to run over them if they get in my way again. And not only that, he made the front page of Time magazine, Dick Carver. And I think it was 1995 when he was on the front page of Time magazine because of what he did. It was peaceful. It was serving the people. And it was constitutional what he did, keeping his oath of office. And the sheriff didn't have to do that one. The board, the county commissioners voted to do it. And they asked, they all voted unanimously to have Dick Carver do that.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. It is. Hey, I want to go to the
do
border.
You know him? Did you ever know him?
No, I didn't know. I know of him.
Yeah, he died about 15 years ago.
Yeah, but I knew of him. Yeah, and it was a great thing he did. I think all of us who are constitutional loving Americans cherished what he did. But I want to take you down to the border for a second, okay? And let's just take our southern one of our southern counties here in Arizona, Cochise County. I want you to imagine for a second, you're the sheriff of Cochise County. Is there anything you could do to stop or limit or slow down illegal immigration without the feds saying you can't do that?
That's actually yes and no. And it's not because the federal government intimidate me in any way, because you already know they don't.
I know.
But this is the thing. The problem is, if the sheriff's actually going to handle that problem, which he has every right to do, the state of Arizona has every right to get involved in that process. First of all, Article 4, Section 4 says that the United States government or Congress shall protect of every state from invasion. They have willingly and knowingly violated that law, and they know they are. And now they're saying, oh, but we're going to build a 20-mile fence. How absurd can you get? You know, Biden should just stick with destroying the Middle East and hurting Israel, because he left billions of military equipment for Hamas and Iran to use however they want. And they're using that now against Israel. And they're probably going to end up using it against, well, I'm sure they've already used it against American citizens who've been killed, who have been living in Israel. I told people within the last year, don't go to Israel anymore. It's you might think it's safe right now, but that could change on a dime. And but anyway, all of my family that talked about going to Israel, I warned them not to, and they haven't. So anyway, the sheriff can, but this is the problem. Where is the sheriff when the state is not participating and not helping? Where is the sheriff going to get all the resources in order to protect the entire length of his county, which is almost half the size of Arizona? Half the width of Arizona is Cochise County on the border.
Right.
And so how is he going to get enough posse members, feed the posse, have his deputies down there? And if he asks for help from Highway Patrol, well, the governor's going to deny it. She's a leftist extremist, and she's not going to help. Just like New Mexico, their governor is a leftist extremist, and she's not going to help. She's too busy destroying the Second Amendment. And you'll notice that the sheriff of Bernalillo County stood against her.
Yes, I did notice that.
Yeah, and he's a Democrat, just like she is. But he's keeping his oath, and he's a good man, that Sheriff Jeff Allen in Bernalillo County, New Mexico. And then the chief of police in Albuquerque followed suit and joined the sheriff. And then the attorney general of the state also joined the chief and the sheriff. This is exactly what we teach and do at the CSPOA. And we ask all of you to join us in doing this. We can't do this alone. Your sheriff cannot do this alone. So if he were to do all this, how long could you, as a citizen of Cochise County, say you live there? I know you don't, but if I were talking to people from Cochise County, go talk to your sheriff and tell him you're willing to help. And then how long could you stay down there at the border to try to help? And what they would need to do, Dave, is get several buses, and I would say about 10 or 12, and just load up the people and take them back. And that means you have to have enough people on, police officers and posse members on the buses, to make sure that the bus driver is protected.
So when you're talking about deputizing the citizens that would be there.
Well, you could make them part of your posse, but the posse needs to be sworn in. So I don't care if you say deputize or swearing in a posse. Okay. The sheriff has the right to do both. And most sheriffs in Arizona, in fact, every one of them, except maybe for Maricopa County, all have search and rescue squads that are volunteers. And those are posses. And so take your posse and see how many people that you could put down there. How long could you do this when the county has not enough money to participate? So the resources is the problem, Dave.
I see.
And that's happening in Texas, even as we speak.
Could someone come and help in Cochise County if they weren't a resident of Cochise County? Could they still be deputized or sworn in?
That would be up to the sheriff. The sheriff could do that if he wanted to, yes. But that's up to him. But I think the law says every able-bodied citizen of the county. But I believe that he would be within his rights to say, because of this emergency, we'll take people from other. I don't know, though, if I was the sheriff, if I would just say people I don't know, people who don't live in my county, and anybody from the country or state could come down there, and I don't know them, and I don't know what they're doing, and I don't know if they're trained to do this.
Could be so infiltrators,
Yeah, he would have to vet people and get to know. So, right. Yeah, if it were me, I would stick to the people in my community who I know and that I've dealt with most of my life.
Yeah, that's probably really good advice.
What Abbott is doing is actually illegal. And sending people in bus lines that are here illegally, that's aiding and abetting a criminal episode. And so I think it was funny. I think it was ironic. I think it shoved it in the face of these extremist, leftist extremists. But at the same time, he shouldn't be doing it anymore. I think he could be charged criminally with it, but nobody's worried about charging anything that's criminal at the border. So I guess they're not going to go after Abbott either. But now we're seeing the spoiled fruit from their spoiled tree. And it's causing such havoc in these major Democrat cities that they're begging for help and Biden won't help them. And so now what did the mayor of New York do? He's down lobbying people not to come into America anymore. And he's down touring Latin America and telling people, please don't come here. We can't take care of you anymore. Well, we told him that years ago. So again, just to be sure, just to be clear, the sheriff can do it, but how long would he be able to do it with such limited resources? And can he charge and send an invoice to the federal government? Well, Biden's not going to pay that. So,
well, I look at Abbott. When Abbott took those citizens from non-citizens from Texas and shipped them to New York, I mean, I see the joke, but he's still aiding and abetting illegal immigration.
He is.
Yeah,
he is. And he needs to just do one thing. Turn them around to Mexico, Governor.
Exactly. Bus went in the wrong direction.
Send back to Mexico and join Arizona in doing this. But you know what's going to happen then. These people are all going to go through the border in New Mexico and California. And so if California isn't going to cooperate, and California businesses and towns are now telling their governor, you've got to do something about this. But they're not going to. And the reason they're not going to is they want these voters to be infiltrating the voter rolls in America. And there's, again, there's just some election fraud.
Thank
and the
you
Democrats
for saying that.
Are doing it.
You know, Tucker Carlson just talked about this yesterday. He used the exact same phraseology you did right there. He's right on the money. In fact,
And I didn't hear him, but I've been saying this for a long time. But I'll tell you what, if you can hook me up with Tucker, I'd love to be on his show.
Well, I wish I could hook myself up with Tucker. He's hard to get a hold of. I've tried.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you this too. Speaking of Cochise County and election fraud, we had, as you well know, we had a situation where the county commissioners in Cochise County said publicly, well, okay, we don't really trust the machines. We know we got to use them because of state law, but we're going to hand count the machine results to validate the final tally. And Governor Hobbs, who was then the Secretary of State and basically interfering in her own election, she told him, I'll put you in jail if you do that. Couldn't the sheriff have protected the county commissioners from arrest and they still could have done this?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question, but it's an easy answer. Absolutely. Oh, of course.
Why do you
think
it didn't happen?
There's nothing illegal about hand-counting a ballot.
Those people bent over, though, and said, oh, yeah, oh, we're sorry, Governor. We'll Governor-to-be, we'll stop. We'll let you get away with your election fraud.
Yeah. Yeah. So Katie Hobbs has no business interfering with the election when it's just simply being counted. It's verifying the vote. And if there's nothing to hide, Katie, if there's nothing to hide, then why not do it? It's just a check and balance. It's not subversive. It's not undoing the election. It's simply verifying what was done by we the people, and it's our stewardship to appoint our own public officials. And if you don't like that, it's just too bad. There's nothing she could have done about it. I mean, if she tries to go arrest, what's she going to charge him with? Recounting the votes? You know?
Yeah. But Richard, here's what's interesting.
This is the kind of asinine thing we got in office now.
Yeah, well, you're right. But she was then the Secretary of State, technically in charge of elections. But she's a candidate in the election they're counting, so she interfered in her own election. How the hell does she get away with
that? She should have recused herself because she was running for office right then.
Yeah.
And she should have recused herself as Secretary of State.
That's just absolutely amazing.
But she didn't. She wanted to make sure that she got in, so she stayed.
Well, ultimate in cheating, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're familiar with Paul Preston, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
President of the New California Movement. Let me tell you what he's done, and I want to see if we can put it in the framework of another state like Arizona. In California, he's forced several corrupt officials to resign in lieu of being investigated. And he does this thing called the declaration process. He'll get like 100 citizens to sign a declaration telling the sheriff, you need to investigate these crimes, and basically gives them an affidavit of understanding, if I'm using the term correctly. And Paul's forced several people to resign. Are you familiar with the process, and do you think it could work in other states by doing this with the sheriff?
Yes, but I'm more in favor of the affidavits that are collected pursuant to people going door to door, asking people if they actually voted 15, 17 times from their home, because that's the ballot harvesting proof.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody can go check the voter rolls, and you can check the addresses of people who are signed up to vote, and you can check and see how many people voted from a certain address. And Paul Preston was part of this too, and so was the CSPOA in California. And we were having success until we passed those affidavits of the people who said, no, I did not vote 17 times for my house. It's only my wife and me, and we voted twice. Would you be willing to sign an affidavit? Yes. Then that affidavit went to the local sheriff, and the sheriff actually just passed it on to the state instead of doing what we asked nationwide, every sheriff in this country, all 3,086, should have done a verification of the vote in his county to make sure there was no voter-election fraud in his county. There was plenty of probable cause for this. There was more than reasonable suspicion, but only a handful of sheriffs did it. And the others that got evidence and the affidavits that you're talking about, or that may be a different affidavit on this particular case, about election fraud, turned it over to the state attorney general, and then nothing happened and it was all dropped. Except for the sheriff of San Juan County, California. And he received information from citizens that a city councilman in a local within San Juan County, a local city government, he was a city councilman, and they found out that he had 75 voter registrations to his home address. 75. Now, how many of you believe that he had 75 people living in his home? Well, the sheriff didn't either. And the sheriff arrested him after conducting a very thorough investigation. Folks, you cannot bypass the investigation, okay? So, we should all be involved in this process. I believe other states could show a lot more evidence of this if we were looking, especially in Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio, and probably a couple other states. Nevada for sure. Yeah. And so, yes, we have the San Juan County, and any of you can look this up. Look up San Juan County and arrest city councilman for election fraud. And I don't know where it's gone since then. I don't know if this guy took a plea bargain. I haven't checked, but I know he was arrested, and I know it was election fraud, and I know that the national press has lied about it and not put it out there because they keep telling us that there was no election fraud. Sheriff Wilmot in Yuma County, Arizona, also conducted one, and he arrested two people in his county.
I remember that. Yeah, I do recall that. But so, they always tell us completely unproven claims. They've been debunked, and there's never been any election fraud. And, you know, in fact, we live in a county, both in you and I believe live in Maricopa County, and almost 60% of the voting machines failed upon opening in heavy Republican districts. And yet the county supervisor said, nothing to see here. Everything was fair and free. I don't even care if you had criminal corruption. Doesn't matter. When you have that many machines fail, shouldn't they have done the election over?
Yeah, and not only that, they should have considered obviously doing it, but then making sure with a hand count vote, counting all by hand the votes in Maricopa County, the ballots. And that would have just told everybody right then and there, see, there really was nothing to see. It came out the same both ways.
Exactly.
If they
right.
had done that, they wouldn't have all this this problem and all this suspicion from us, the American people here in Arizona. It was covered up. It was a lie, and nobody would let anybody see.
You
And
know,
if, again, if they don't have anything to hide, why don't they just expose everything?
yeah, you had a line one time on my show. If they're not guilty of something, why are they acting like it? Yeah, exactly. That was a great, I borrowed that line a few times. But I, you know, the thing too, that really bothered me when they had the public hearing, for the county supervisors in Maricopa County, in an enraged public showed up. I watched the tape of it, and I didn't get to vote because I went to the second center when they said the machine failed, but they said he'd already voted at the first center and I was denied my right to vote. And they had stories like that. Or I waited 3 hours in line at the second place and I had to pick up my kid from school. I got disenfranchised. And here was their reaction. Your 3 minutes are up. Next speaker, please.
Yeah.
They couldn't care less. They didn't care about the facts.
My wife and I had something strange happen to us. We lived in West Phoenix at the time in a very Democrat area. And we both got three ballots each. So to our home, we had six ballots come. And so I didn't really think anything of it, but I just thought it was a mistake. And so later I went downtown after the election and I asked the director of the elections, the county recorder for Maricopa County, and I asked one of the county board of supervisors, why that happened. Oh, you don't need to worry about it. We would have only counted one each. We would have only counted two. So the other four would not have been counted. And I said, why did I get six ballots? It doesn't matter. We would have only counted two. That was the only answer. And I said, you know, that was a very densely populated Democrat area, and I got six ballots. And Dave, now I wish that I had documented all of this and that my wife and I would have sent in three each. And I wish I had sent in three for Biden and three for Trump and then see what happened.
You could have got prosecuted, though, couldn't you?
No, but I was going to document it all and let them know. I wasn't going to go to the police because they would have exposed it. I didn't trust them. And I really wish I had done it. I mean, I could have got somebody from outside Maricopa County or even somebody inside who I trusted to monitor what I was doing. Maybe Joe Arpaio or maybe one of his deputies or something that he trusted. I'm sure I could have found a way, but I really wish I had done that now because I think it would have been obvious what would have happened.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Well, you know, there is something else, too. I want to kind of shift gears here, and we're going to go into the speculation zone. And, I know you've been traveling a lot, but the whereabouts of Katie Hobbs, I know she went to Asia and illegally represented Arizona in a trade deal. That's illegal as hell. You can't do that as a state official. And she went to Taiwan and South Korea. Okay. But she should have come back after the trip, and she didn't. She goes to DC reportedly. Okay. And at the same time, you got Adrian, the cartel lawyer Fontes, is supposedly in DC, and Secretary of State for the audience sake. And then you have the Attorney General. She's in DC. And these people were gone for a lengthy period. And then they claim they were back, but no one ever saw them. And I have an insider at the AG's office and I've known her for 20 years. And she told me, we haven't seen the AG here in almost 3 weeks. They were gone for an extended period. And at the same time, Sheriff Penzone, Democrat guy, got $2 million from George Soros to run for election.
Right. Okay. And he did.
Yeah. And he's now announced he's not running for re-election. Let me tell you what we're hearing. I'm going to tell you what Paul Preston and I are both hearing. Okay.
Yeah.
And I can't say I can verify this, but I'm telling you, Paul's getting the same information I got from different sources. And what we're hearing is there was action surfacing inside Arizona to impugn them. And one, the Brager report, which says there were a lot of payoffs done by Sinaloa money laundering activities. And we've covered that here on the show. But number two, there was also a call for investigation into voter fraud participation and sanctioning voter fraud, which Katie Hobbs clearly did. I mean, that's public. I mean, she can't even take that back.
Yeah.
Because she did, because what she did to Cochise County, she also did to Ron Gould in Mojave County.
Correct.
So you've got that situation there. And so laying this out, what Paul and I are thinking, and we're thinking because we're getting information, but the loop has not been closed. They're gone for an extended period of time. We're thinking, well, if you're out of the state, you might be hard to serve inside the state. And then here you got Penn Zone that's part of the fraud, and he was part of the 2020 fraud, lying about the election codes, and he had them and everything. He didn't have them. He lied for the county supervisors. He's culpable. Do you know anything about this at all?
Yeah, the intel that I've gotten here locally is that he simply doesn't want to have anything to do with the Shinola hitting the fan. And he wants to be gone. However, I told them, I said, if this impugns his character, or even worse, makes it look like he could be charged, he wants to be sheriff during that time, not a citizen. So my opinion is that he's going somewhere else where he can have a badge and he has immunity. But I don't know that for sure. But the intel here is he's running scared, and he wants out of Maricopa County, and he wants out of any responsibility to have to prove that he had nothing to do with the election fraud.
Yeah, it's interesting. I first thought when I heard, by the way, there's another piece to this too. I've had this confirmed. This part is true. Rod Rosenstein, the number two guy at Justice, was here in Arizona during that period when these officials were missing. And they had to go all the way down to the Secretary of the Treasury, Kim Yee, to be the acting governor, because all three of those officials were gone. And Rod Rosenstein came in with some of his people, DOJ fixer. He's a DOJ fixer for Merrick Garland. In other words, he shows up at hotspots and does the fixing. And we don't know what he did, but we know he was here. And that really adds fuel to this fire. And now you're thinking that Penzone wants to get out of Dodge to avoid legal trouble down the road. But here's what I did. I went, and I got to be really careful how I say this. I have a good source inside the legislature, really good source, and someone I've known that predates their service. And what they told me is, Dave, I don't think this is coming from inside the legislature. Everyone's running scared because Liz Harris was kicked out for daring to expose some of these crimes committed by our public officials. So they kicked her out of the legislature. She said, I don't think it's, they said, I don't think it's coming here. And I said, where do you think it's coming from? And he said, well, if I were to guess, it's coming out of the Kerry Lake camp.
Really?
That's what I was told. Now, they didn't know. Hmm. They said, who else would do this? And they kind of walked me through this. Think about this logically. If we don't think it's coming from us inside the legislature, okay, then who's really in opposition to all that's happened? Kerry Lake had a governor's race stolen from her, and her people are still active. She's going to run for the Senate now. So I look at that. I look at that, Richard, and I'm just saying, you got DOJ in the state. You got officials missing from the state. You got the sheriff saying he's not coming back. It's not like we can sit back and say these are all rumors. I mean, there's a lot of strange things happening in Arizona. And here's my hope. This is why the rest of the nation should care. If we could break this dam of corruption in Arizona and expose the voter fraud, this would have a tsunami effect across the country.
Oh, of course. Yes. And I thought that the few investigations done by sheriffs would do that, but they put them out real quick. They put those investigations out pretty quick. But it's obvious, because out of the seven sheriffs that we had investigate, four of them showed absolute election fraud, and three of them came up with arrests. And so the numbers would just tell you, if every sheriff did this, we would have had a huge election fraud coming together across the country. It would have, I think, shut it all down. But I don't know what stopped these sheriffs, but I think we just need some sheriffs across the country that have a little bit more agallas, and that's guts. We need sheriffs with the courage to do what they have to do and not compromise the liberty of America for their pensions or their salary.
Yeah. Well, look, I have firsthand knowledge that that Brager report, so-called constructed by John Thaler, a RICO investigator, I have firsthand knowledge that at least one event is true because I was involved in the periphery of it. I saw it firsthand. So there's no telling me that's not, we don't have Arizona officials on the take. We do. From Sinaloa money laundering operations. Katie Hobbs is accused of taking $500,000 in that report.
None more corrupt than the Secretary of State and the governor.
Yeah, well, you know, Adrian Fontes, wasn't he the attorney of record for the cartel members that killed Agent Brian Terry in Fast and Furious?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so how the hell do you elect that guy to your Secretary of State? It may not be illegal, but there's a matter of judgment there. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, he's had very poor judgment and a very poor record in a lot of other areas.
Oh, I know. And I know about the casino dealings in California. Yeah. Paul Preston and I have had many late night conversations about that.
4 years ago, he was in charge of the election here, and it was the worst run election in Arizona history.
That's how Joe Biden won the state.
And then supposedly, he gets elected to this to do it statewide. You know, I don't believe that, Dave. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't believe that the state of Arizona elected a leftist extremist as governor, a leftist extremist as Secretary of State or Lieutenant Governor, same thing, or the Attorney General, another leftist extremist. All three of them? No way.
I agree with you.
And then some of the top leaders in Maricopa County, same thing. There's no way. A statewide office. And then statewide office Republican, Tom Horn, the school superintendent job, statewide. Why would anybody vote for him more than they would Katie Hobbs or Adrian Fontes? Doesn't make sense at all. Why not put a Democrat there? Well, I guess they didn't want to get people too suspicious. I don't know, but I don't
clean
buy
sweep.
It.
I agree. The clean sweep.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah. I want to read to you something real quick here. We'll close with this issue because ultimately I think this is going to come back to the sheriffs. The way this bill is written now, it's going to be a referendum to the people to vote on in 2024. But I'm hearing there's going to be amendment riders attached to it. And Richard, my confidence call on that is 100%. I have no question. I've talked to too many people that have firsthand evidence of this. Okay. It says, Arizona's House and Senate passed HCR 2039. And what it basically does is it's a voting bill for highways to be approved by the public, but that's a red herring. Only 40% of the spending will go to highways. The rest is yet not earmarked. And what I've been told they're going to do with this is a statewide mandate for smart city compliance, where they want to lock you into where you can live, what your activities will be, and so forth. And we're talking exercising things like forced relocation through economic pressure, whole nine yards, kind of like what we're seeing in Hawaii right now. It's not just Lahaina that got victimized. It's the whole state of Hawaii that's being locked into this crap. So this comes back to me, to the sheriff. First of all, we have a bill that's deceptive, and they're going to put a rider on it now after they voted on it to go with the people to vote on it, which is smart city compliance. The city of Tucson and partially Phoenix and partially Scottsdale, Tucson's fully compliant with smart city legislation. They passed it in their city council and their mayor approved it. Scottsdale and Phoenix are right behind and they're adopting elements of it without becoming full-fledged members yet. Phoenix is on the verge. How can they do this to the state? How can they say to you, okay, you now give up your property rights. You give up civil liberties. We will tell you where you will live. We will tell you what your activity will be. All the things about smart cities. What can a sheriff do in this now?
Well, I think he's going to need a lot of backup from the citizens. If we just pick on the 15 sheriffs in Arizona and have them do solve all of our problems, we're going to have to really get behind these guys. And we do have some good sheriffs here. But if we keep dumping every problem on the sheriff of corruption of this state, he's probably not going to be too thrilled about it after about the 10th time. This is the thing. If he knows he has the backing of his constituents and they're with him, and he has the backing of other state and local officials, especially county commissioners backing the sheriff, I think the sheriff could do this. And I believe that if he had enough, right now we have a pretty sound Republican legislature, which also one makes you wonder how we kept a Republican legislature, yet everybody else lost to Democrats horribly.
Isn't that the truth? But here's the other thing. Yeah. It's uniparty. Because we actually had the chairman of the supervisors, Bill Gates, who I know personally, and Stephen Reicher, the county clerk and recorder, had a PAC against Kerry Lake, another GOP. So you had uniparty GOP trying to sabotage America First GOP. And the same thing we see with Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer have the same agreement in the Senate. It's absolutely insane.
You already know, the sheriff can take on any of these issues. He's sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution, protect the rights of the people, and he absolutely can. And God bless him as they do this, because I'm telling you, you already know. I wrote a book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, and he is.
Yes, right.
And Sheriff, I'm sorry that you're going to be getting dumped on, but the people have to know they have a place to turn for peace, safety, honesty, and freedom. And if we continue to allow our country to be swallowed up with this socialistic, communistic takeover and the destruction of our Constitution, then what are we going to have left? That's true. I'm sorry, Sheriff, but you've got to stand up and you've got to do it. And people, you must stand with him. And I ask you to join us. This holy cause of liberty.
Tell them how they can join at the CSPOA.
Go to CSPOA, CSPOA, CSPOA.org, CSPOA.org. Become a member of the CSPOA posse. We will train you and help you in creating a relationship with your sheriff and getting involved and becoming a part of the solution. We need you, and you can make a donation to make sure that what we're doing is continued and made sure of our success. We need you. You've got to be more involved. And I'm telling you, it's the most important donation and the most important organization you can join anywhere in America.
I agree, because it's the last bastion of freedom. And this is what people need to understand. This is right here. This is so deceptive right here. They're hiding it. By the way, the highway they want to fund comes out of Bill Gates' land west of Buckeye, Arizona, on the west end of metropolitan Phoenix, down into downtown, 5 miles south of I-10. And I'm thinking, how convenient is that? I looked at the map. I said, that's Gates' land where it starts. This whole thing is crazy. And folks, I know we talked a lot about Arizona on a national show, but the reality is here, we're a bellwether. We are the king of election corruption, and we're the king of official corruption. The Brager Report is something we're really going to develop. I'm going to have the author of it on, John Thaler. He's coming on the show. But your sheriffs are the only one that can save you. John, we got about 30 seconds left. Tell people again how they can contact CSPOA and become a member.
I'm former Sheriff Richard Mack from Graham County, Arizona.
Yep.
I sued the Clintons, and I've lived it. I put my money where my mouth is, and I'm asking you to do the same thing. Join us in this holy cause of liberty at cspoa.org.
Okay, very good. Richard, always good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on. Look forward to the next time, and let's kick some butt while we still can. Take
Thanks,
care.
Dave. See you soon, brother.
All right.